We left off last time on towards the bottom of Lamed Amos. Not quite as, we didn't quite get to the Mishnah. And we were on the, up to the fourth, wide line. And what the Mishnah was talking about and what the Gemara Nafkin used to talk about is what do you do when you're going to be traveling? So the Mishnah on, Chafesim and Beis had spoken about getting off the donkey, not getting off the donkey. And, here the Gemara talks about the collar issue, which can actually come up fairly frequently. Avoid the Shmuel belief. Ki havu bo lemeifach la'orcha, havu mekadme umatzle. So Shmuel's father and Levi, when they would go on, they have to go on a trip. So the problem is they're leaving really early in the morning. And the question becomes, when do you daven, when do you say Kriya Shema? So Zman Kriya Shema ideally has not come yet. Because they're in a situation where, let's assume for the moment, the way Tosos explains, it already is past Amud HaShachar. Dawn has already dawned. And nonetheless, so they could daven theoretically, they could daven the Amida, they could daven Tfilah, but they can't say Kriya Shema because Zman Kriya Shema is only Mishayakir. It comes later after dawn, sometime between dawn and sunrise. Now, the catch is, they have two choices. They can either wait to daven till they're on the way, but there's no guarantee that they'll be able to stop and daven in place. They might have to continue going because the caravan might be going, and the caravan's not going to wait for them. But what they would gain by doing that is they would have smichas kula latfila, because they're going to say Kriya Shema then, so they'll say Kriya Shema, and then they'll daven. Whereas, if they daven at home, so they'll have the benefit of being able to sort of be focused, stand in place, but they're not going to be able to have smichas kula latfila because they can't see Kriya Shema now. They have to wait to say Kriya Shema until Zman Kriya Shema. So Levi and Shmuel's father, their practice was to be mekadme umatzle. So they would daven early. Rashi, as we have printed in our Gemara, it's very far up on the page. Actually, the Rashis don't line up so well here. So if you go, you know, almost two-thirds of the way up in the narrow lines to find the Rashi. Rashi says, Havo mekadme kodem hayom, before the day. Now, it's not clear to me exactly what Rashi means by that. If you take a look in Tosfos for a second, Tosfos, Avua deShmuel v'Levi, which is the second one from the bottom, Havo mekadme umatzle, probably umetzalu, Perush Rashi, kodem amur hashachar, before dawn. Now, that's not what our Rashi says, but that is apparently what Tosfos had in his Rashi. I would imagine that what happened to our Rashi is because Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's interpretation. They changed Rashi ever so slightly to open the door that perhaps Rashi doesn't disagree with Tosfos. Tosfos continues and says, V'lo nira. It does not appear to be correct that they daven before dawn. The imkein lo hayu yotzim bo klal betfila v'yom. You cannot be yotze shachris before dawn, right? It's one thing that, dawn, you can daven after Amud HaShachar. You can't get smichas kula l'tfila yet because you're not supposed to be Kriya Shema yet, but you can certainly daven tfila. And if that's the case, then you'll be yotze as long as you daven after dawn. But if you daven before dawn, so it says you're not yotze at all. L'chein nirek yitayrish Rabbeinu Chananu. That Misha Ola Amud HaShachar Ta'amah. It would appear that Rabbeinu Chananel's interpretation of the Gemara is more correct. That we're talking about after dawn. That's when they would daven. V'havu mekadme kodem ha'netzachama ka'amar. When it says havu mekadme, they would do it early, it means before nates. Very early before nates, but it was already dawn. V'adayin eno ikar zman tefila. That's not normally when you daven, because certainly, I don't know if there's any reason why the chatzila, you're not allowed to daven right after dawn, except, I mean, I guess ideally vasikim would be after sunrise, but I think the only reason you can't daven the chatzila after dawn is because you won't get smichas kula tefila. You won't be able to do kriya shema right before and lead into tefila. But anyway, that was their choice. They rather daven standing. The Gemara will say a little bit later, Tfila Ma'umad, standing in place, being able to focus, and sacrifice Smichas Kula Tfila rather than daven on the journey, where there's a very significant possibility that they will not be able to stop to daven, they'll just have to daven while they're walking. So now the Gemara then continues, Ki havu matez ban kriyashma paru. They would read Zman Kriyashma when they would read Kriyashma when the Zman came. So they would do Tzvila before they left, Kriyashma later. So the Gemara says, Kanan, whose opinion it is following, Ki haitan the Tanya, according to the following Tana. We have an Abraisa, Ishkim Lotte Sladera, the person went early before Hane Tachama to travel. Meviam lo shofar vitokea, lulavu minanea, and megillah vikoreva. So if a person is going on a journey, so the mitzvahs that are normally done after sunrise, after Hane Tachama, so they're not going to be able to do them later, so they do them after Amud HaShachar. There is a Mishnah Megillah that lists, it's at the end of the second parak. The Mishnah lists, you know, I have the convenience here of pulling it off my shelf. See, Lenny, there are advantages to being, you know, at home. So the Mishnah Megillah, near the end of the second parak, says, Ein Korenes HaMegillah V'lo Molin. You can't read the Megillah of the day. You can't do Bris Milah. You can't do Tfilin Hazah. Forget about that. But all these things, Ad Shetanei Tachama, until the sun rises. The Chulan She'asun Yishalam Rashachar Pasher. So Mechatchila, you're not allowed to do these mitzvot after dawn, before sunrise. But if you have no choice, if you did it already, your Yotze, as long as it was after dawn. That was the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amud Beis says, Kol Hayom Kasher, L'Kriyas HaMegillah, L'Kriyas HaHalel, L'Tkiyas Shofar, L'Tkiyas Lulav, etc. So all these mitzvahs can be done all day. L'Chatchila, they're supposed to be done after sunrise, not after dawn. But B'di'eved, if you do them after dawn, you will fulfill your obligation.
Rabbi, where are we exactly?
Lamed Amud Aleph, but at 8 lines down.
Okay. Thank you.
Six lines down, sorry. So again, the person needs to go on a journey, so they bring him the shofar, they bring him the lulav, they bring him a megillah, he does the mitzvos, and then, uchshiagiyas man kriyashma kore. When Zman Kriyashma comes, when he's on the way, he'll read. Now there's one question you should all ask, which I have to confess I didn't ask, but I think Rabbi Yonah asked the question. There's something very strange about this Bryce. There's something very strange about this fellow going on a journey. What's strange about him going on a journey?
It was Yantish.
Lulav, it could be Cholamoid.
Right, but shofar.
Purim, shofar. How's the guy going on a journey on a day that he has to board the shofar? It's Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbeinu Yonah fetches a teretz. You know, I think about how, well, he was, you're allowed to walk in the tum. And why he was going the full distance, I don't know, but he had to do that for a reason. I think that the simpler answer might be that the Mishnah is not really talking about Kriya Shofar. It's kind of a template that the Tana the Brisa used. Then he picked these sort of three classic mitzvahs hayom of Shofar, Lulav, and Megillah. And they, by the way, all have something in common otherwise. Anybody know what they have in common otherwise?
Docha and Shabbos.
They're not. Shabbos is docha then, right? Because of Gzeira, Hashem Yavirenu, Arbamis, Bishasarab, Shofar, Lulav, and Megillah. Those three things. So I think that one should not make too great of an inference on the fact that the Brisa chooses to put Shofar in there because it's just part of this template. That's what I think. Okay. So anyway, but the bottom line is you do the mitzvah hayom that you can do earlier that you won't be able to do later. You do them earlier, but Kriyashma you leave until later. And now we're not done yet. Hishkim leishev v'karon o b'sfina. If he got up early to go either on a wagon journey or in a boat, mispalel, he should daven when he gets up. Uchshiagi azman kriyashma koren. And then he'll read kriyashma b'zmana. And that's the Tanakhama's opinion, and that's the opinion that Levi and Avuha de Shmuel, Shmuel's father, will follow. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Benkach uvenkach, Kore Kriyashma Mispalo, Kidei Shiyisma Fulul Tfila. So Shimon Elazar disagrees. He says that the appropriate thing to do is to wait to daven until after you say Kriyashma, even though you're not going to be able to stop and stand in place when you daven. So the Gemara explains that the Maikama Palgi, what is the point of departure? What is the Nikudas Tamachlokas between these two opinions? Mar Savar Tfila Me'umad Odis. One opinion, that is the Tanakhama, whom Levi and Abu Shmuel follow, believe that standing in place for tefillah, where you can have more kavanah, it's more appropriate for tefillah, so that is better than, that is a higher priority than smicha stula latefillah, umar savar mismach geula latefillah adet. The second opinion is that no, that smicha stula latefillah is so important that better to sacrifice a little bit in the quality of the tefillah, but recite the tefillah on the heels of geula. Okay, so now the Gemara tells the story. Mereimar umar zutra havo matan fe be asara b'shabata de rigla. So these two Amoraim, when they would give the drasha on the Shabbos of the regel, they would gather 10 people together, meaning very early in the morning, umitzalim, and they would daven ben, v'hadar nafka mpirka. Then they would go out to give the parak. Now, what is the parak? So there's a very interesting Rashi here. And we have a long time to go through Pesach. Anyway, I'm not allowed to talk about Pesach because we haven't gotten to Tisha B'Av, Rosh Hashanah, and the fall holidays. But if you look at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Torah, in the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, so what you find is the idea that Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach, we start to explore Hilchos Pesach. So there is a discussion, how does one reconcile that with the idea of the statement, the Gemara at the end of Megillah, that you're supposed to be Doresh in the Regel, the Halachos of that Regel. There are all sorts of different ways Pesach is maybe different. And then one of the things that emerges there is that Shabbos, the Shabbos before Yom Tov, was a day that they would teach Halachos of the Yom Tov. However, the question is, which Yom Tov does this apply to? And Pesach is obviously the Yom Tov with the most things going on. Because, as you know, when it comes to chametz and matzah and those kinds of things, so there's really a lot on people's plates. Sukkot has plenty of mitzvah, plenty of mitzvahs to do. It has the sukkah, it has the lulav, but it's not quite the same thing as Pesach. And Shavuos, you know, for Shavuos, Nebuch only doesn't have, I guess you have to make the cheesecake. But other than that, there's really nothing for Shavuos. So the question that arises is there a need to be Doresh in Hilchos Achag before Shavuos? After all, there are no Hilchos Achag unless you want to teach Hilchos Yom Tov. So this, I believe, is a contradiction between Rashi's in different places in Shas. But if you take a look at our Rashi here on B'Shabbata de Rigla, Rashi writes, and this again, it's a bit further up on the page, Rashi writes, B'Shabbata de Rigla Shilofnei Pesach Va'atzeres B'Sukkos. Rashi says that it was all three Yom Tovim, there was a Shabbata de Rigla, and then he explains what the Amoraim were doing. Umareimar be'iro, umar zutra be'iro, hayu hadar shanim. Those two Amoraim, they used to give the drasha, and the drasha was really that halacha. It wasn't like the rabbi's drasha today, when you give an agadic drasha for the most part. And if it did have a homiletical component, the primary focus was the halacha. And then what would happen? Hayu ha'am hochel in beis hamedrash. The people would go to the beis hamedrash. They would read Kriya Shema at the time because they weren't giving the drasha. So any of them could say it, any of them could slip out the davin. But the Hadarshan Dorish, the Darshan had to give the drasha. He couldn't stop. Each individual, we'd step out. You'd take a little break to go davin, but the Darshan couldn't. They would daven very early, it was late enough they could do Kriya Shema and Tfila together. Then they would go out to the Perek and they would be, and then they'd give the drasha. Now, so that explains the Gemara. Just going back to my comment about the three regalim, if you take a look, at Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's that little, funny, I don't know what you want to call it, a circle with a line to it. Do you, I assume you have that notation on the beginning of the Rashi, the Shabbata de Rigla? Do you have, for those who have a printed edition, do you have that little funny symbol? Lenny's shaking his head, so you do have it. That symbol is the symbol to look in the Gilyon Hashas, which is by Rabbi Kiva Eger. And there, he points you to a Gemara earlier in a Rashi in a Tosos, where I believe that he says it's only twice a year. I think it's Pesach and Sukkot. I didn't check, but we can take steal a glance now, but I'm pretty sure, yes, that we probably spoke about this when we were there at the end of the second parak. The Gemara says, Trey Zimne B'Shata, Tosa says that on Shavuos, it was only one day, so they didn't really have such a gathering. Because there really isn't so much to, it's a short Yom Tov, whatever that means there. Okay, so bottom line is these Amoraim used to get up early, and they used to make a minyan. And now the Gemara says, Ravashi mitzale b'hadei tzibura b'yachem meyusha. What Ravashi used to do, he didn't gather minyan together early. The Gemara will explain why. They'll ask the question why. The Amoraim asked them why. What he used to do is he used to daven when the tzibur would daven. Now, you have to say, admit that's quite a neat trick. Imagine I'm giving shir to you now, and somehow in the middle of the shir, I'm going to take a break, say Kriyashma Daven, but you're not going to notice it. You know, I don't know, you know, for those who know Princess Bride, okay, you guys, oh, look behind you! And you're all distracted while I quickly say Kriyashma. That's not really going to work. So what Rashi explains is that Ravashi, when they gave a drasha, I'm not so important. So when I give shir directly to you. The most I could say is I have a microphone between me and you. And if I were giving in a big auditorium, I'd have a microphone that would project, you know, to the audience. But in time of the Gemara, when the Chacham gave a drasha, he had an Amora. An Amora doesn't mean an Amoraic sage, but it means basically the microphone. It was the guy who would be the Meturgeman. I would give the drasha, I would whisper something quietly for the Meturgeman, and he would project to the audience. Some of that, I don't think it was just because I couldn't project, I think it was about Kavod also for the Chacham. So what Ravashi would do is, when he'd be giving shir, normally he'd read one or two sentences, and then the Meturgeman, the Amora, would repeat what Ravashi had to say. And then Ravashi would say more. But here, instead, Ravashi gave him five paragraphs. He gave him a whole material. I hope that Meturgeman's got a good memory. And then, while the Meturgeman is busy reciting over Ravashi, says, Kriyashma, he daven, which tells you his Amida must have been pretty quick. To practice Kriyashma and Amida must have been pretty quick. But that's what Ravashi would do. But remember, he sat there. He was sitting in his chair when he was giving the drasha, and that's how he daven. So the Gemara says, then what would he do? When he would go home after the drasha was over, he would daven again standing up in a more meyushav, in a more settled, focused type of fashion. So the Gemara says, Amri le Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, the Talmidim asked Ravashi, V'li aved mar, kemereim at umar zutra. Why don't you do like a umar zutra? Get a minyan together earlier. So Amar lehu, tariha lehim rosa. It's a tucha. Rashi explains it's not that Ravashi was lazy. He did not want to be ma'acher disman be'samedrush to delay it to daven. I guess he wanted to get started very early. Not sure what the particular reason was, and he felt it better that way, and therefore it wouldn't, not that it was hard for him to get a minyan, not that it was a tucha, but it would have pushed off disman be'samedrush to begin with. Rashi didn't want to. Then, the Avid Mar Kavod Shmuel v'Levi? He said, why don't you then do at least what Avod Shmuel v'Levi did, which is, get up, don't wait till after Zman Kriya Shema. Daven after Amon HaShachar. The drush is not starting between Amon HaShachar and Netzach HaMa. It's not starting between dawn and sunrise. That's not happening. So you could daven earlier by yourself. You'll say Kriya Shema when people, you know, you'll read a few extra lines to the Meturgeman while you're giving the drush, so you have time to slip in Kriya Shema. And do it that way. So Amar Lehu, he said to them, Lo chazina lehu l'rabbanan kashish sheminan b'havdeha. I have not seen the rabbis who are senior to me. I actually have not seen them do that. I didn't see that. Okay, and therefore, I don't have a choice. I can't daven earlier and sacrifice nichas b'l'tfila. But I don't want to delay the zman of the drasha. I don't want to delay the time of the drasha. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to smicha school tefillah, but I'm going to daven quickly sitting down while I'm giving the drasha, and then I will daven later in a more settled fashion. The question now becomes, who do we paskin by? Because this is important, right? This situation can come up. It can come up a situation where, let's say, you leave for the airport, you get on your flight, and really, it's the crack of dawn, and you have a choice. You can either daven tefillah earlier and wait till you're on the airplane and say Kriya Shema Bizmana, or you could wait till you're on the plane and daven's sitting there. Now, at least there you can probably concentrate a little more than when, you know, when you're riding on a donkey, it's a little bit harder because you're afraid of falling off. In the plane, you know, you're not real, as long as there's no turbulence, you're not really thinking very much about the journey. So that's fine. So you'll just, daven sitting there. So it really depends upon just not focus. If you hold like Abua, Dishmo, and Levi, you should say Tfila earlier, and on the plane you'll say Kriyashma. Whereas if you hold light, if you hold like Mereimar and not Mereimar Zutra, but Rav Shimon Elazar, then you would say Smichas Kula Tfila is better. Wait till you're on the plane. So if you take a look, Tosfos Mismach Kula Tfila Adis, he says being so make Kula Tfila is better than Mila Hispala Ma'uban. It's more important than davening just standing in place. He says Vahachi Paske Bahag Halachik Rav Shimon Elazar. And that's how the Bahag Paskins, Umashma, the Yurchas Brachos, Mutalus Kala Baderach, the Mahalich, Vein Sarach Lamot. That you're allowed to daven when you're moving on the journey, and even though you're not standing in place. But if you skip in Tosos 4 lines from the bottom, Rabbeinu Hanano Pasat Kavod Shmuel Levi. So Rabbeinu Hanano says, we pass the Kavod Shmuel Levi, that it is better to daven, standing in place and forget about smichas kula tfila. And then he writes, umi umi b'ka'ama ravashi lo chazina la rabbana tashishi b'ka'avi hachi mashma dein alacha kamosam. From the fact that Rav Ashi says that I never saw the older sages do like Abu the Shmuel Levi, Tosa says it sounds like we really don't paskin it with. So I'll ask you the question. I'll ask your opinion. Does that really sound like we hold that we don't paskin like Abu the Shmuel Levi? Like Tosus says, Rav Ashi didn't do it. He says, I didn't see Rabban and Kashishai do it. So does that really suggest that we don't hold like them? So Tosus says yes, but if you look in other Rishonim, I believe the Rosh, hold on, some of you may not have the Rosh, but I'll read to you a very short passage. The Rosh, near the end of the Perek, at the end of Simon Chot, I'll just read you the one very short line. He quotes that Halachos Gedolos, the Tosfos quoted, Paskins like Rav Shimon Elazar, that it's better Smichas Kula Tfila. But the Rush writes, Umistaber Tzei Kemosha Pasek Rabbeinu Hanano. So it makes more sense, Paskins like Rabbeinu Hanano. Why? Tevan the Rav Ashi, Lo Polig Adrav, Ushmuel, Hilchasa Kabase. He says that Rav Ashi never actually argued on this. Right? All he did was say, I didn't see them do it. He didn't say we don't pass them that way. But basically, he didn't want to do things that way, because, and the bottom line is, he does get tefillah ma'uman. Right? He didn't sacrifice tzvichas kol tefillah, he got it his way. But he didn't say that we don't pass them like that. He said, I didn't see them do it that way. And sometimes you'll come and ask a shayla and you'll say, can you do it this way? Say, my Rebbe didn't do it that way. Right? That's not saying we don't pass them that way. That's saying I don't do it that way because that's not what I saw. So that is what Rabbeinu Hanan, that's what the Rosh suggests, that we should pass in like Rabbeinu, we should pass in like Avua, Shmuel, and Levi, because Ravashi never actually, rejected their position. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, I'll read for you. Again, the convenience of having the sperm right in front of me. Although I still would prefer to be giving shir in principle with everybody in person. So in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Bishas Hadachak, writes the Mechaber. This is Simon Peites Sifas. Bishas Hadachak, Kegon Shetarach Sarach Lahashkim Laderach. You have to go on a journey. Yochol Lehispalo Misha'ala Amur HaShachar. You're allowed to daven as soon as the crack of dawn comes. V'yamtin Melikros Kriyashma Ashiyagiyas Mana. And you wait to read Kriyashma until it's time. Even though you're not going to get smichas kula l'tfila, hachi adif tvei, it's better this way, she yispalo beveso ma'umat, you should daven standing in place in your house, mimashi yispalo bezmana v'huma aleph, v'yismo ge'ula l'tfila. Better than to be moving. So in fact, the Shulchan Aruch does paskin, like Abu Dishmon Levi, in accordance with the conclusion of the Rosh, not in accordance with the conclusion of Tosfos. Okay. Any questions on this piece before we move on to the next mission? the next and final Mishnah of the Perek. Okay, here we go.
Rabbi, I have one question. Is there a d'chak, which is, you just talked about d'chak, b'sha'a d'chak. Is there something shat onus? Are there two different categories?
I don't think so. I mean, we know, the answer is I think no. I think they're sort of the same thing. In other words, and when we say, like, when we say onus, onus sounds like I literally have no choice. I mean, that's not what's being spoken here. Like, d'chak, there's no pikuach nefesh here. I presume they're going on some type of business trip or something like that where they need to travel. So that's called d'chak, because ideally you'd rather wait till later, but you really press. The flight is at a certain time, the caravan is leaving at a certain time, and I can't just go any time I want. So I don't think we would call that onus, really, but it's d'chak. But I think halachically speaking, we would treat them as the same, in the same fashion. Okay.
I mean, there's a bigger problem for people who live in different parts of the country, where Zman Kriyash, where sunrise is much later, and if they change, get rid of the clocks, then we're going to have a, you know, changing the clocks, we're going to have a bigger problem here.
Right. That seems to be Baruch Hashem dead at the moment, or, you know, languishing. But, yes, that would be a very big problem. It's a problem even in the winter months here in New York, right? During our calendrical system, 7:20 is the latest, 7:22 or 23 is the latest sunrise that we have, you know, based upon the clock. But if, when is KJ Shaftas normally during the week?
7:30, you know, non-Priyasa Torah days, 7:15 Priyasa Torah days, and 7 o'clock or so.
Wow. Well, I guess that's what you get when you live in the city and you don't have to commute into the city. So you can daven at a more civilized time.
Yeah.
As opposed to country hicks like myself, you know, have to make that
commute over the bridge. I always assumed that if I lived in the country like you, I would quit Judaism, not just the rabbinate, but Judaism entirely. Thank God I live in good old Manhattan with a very, very nice schedule.
The 6:30 minyan would be much, and 6:10 on Rosh Chodesh, yes. Okay. So yes, that would become a more significant problem, even at KJ, if the clock were to be later. I think, I have this impression, I don't know the details, I really have to ask, that Moshe in Russia actually told the Balabatim to daven earlier than they really should have. I know they put on tefillin, that I'm pretty sure about, and I think with the bracha, because he was afraid if he didn't have them do it earlier, they wouldn't end up doing it at all. I don't know how he worked out Kriya Shema and Tefillah and what he would do with that, but that was like a major shasat tzah, which hopefully we won't face, right? It's true if you live in New York. If you live in, I don't know,
Atlanta, I think.
Atlanta,
probably.
Right. Or maybe Cleveland, Columbus, Ohio, and so on.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit harder, yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway.
It's going to get very hard for all of us in another year or so if they actually carry out
right.
The idea of daylight savings time permanent.
Right. That was what Larry had raised. Oh. I've opined that it's currently dead in committee. So hopefully it will remain. Hopefully they'll do it the other way. They'll turn us back to regular standard time all the time. Okay. Musaf. Last tefillah we haven't spoken about. Actually, we get a bonus in this parak, an opportunity to talk about one other tefillah that doesn't appear in Maseches Brachos, but I'll leave that for the end of the parak, because the Rif chooses to quote it at the end of the parak, which is what we did hopefully last night, Kiddush Levana. So Kiddush Levana is its form of tefillah, right? We say that Elmalei Lo Zachu Yisrael LaHakvil As Avim Pnei Avim Shemayim Al Pamas B'Chodesh Dayu. It means tefillah. So we get stuff in 100 times a month almost. But Kiddush Levana is a kind of tefillah. So for whatever reason, it appears in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the middle of nowhere, almost, I don't want to say randomly, but having literally nothing to do with the Sechah Sanhedrin, but it appears there having to do with times, and I think Daphne Mal, Daphne Beis, and the Rift here at the end of the parak quotes it because I guess he felt that it belongs in the Sechah Brachos and belongs in the parak that deals with tefillah. So we first start with the last thing, which is Musaf. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Ein Tefillas HaMusafim, Ela B'Cheder Ir. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, I should say the first version of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this is the Tanakhama presenting Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because Rabbi Yehuda, at the end of the Mishnah, is going to present a different version of Rabbi on Laza Ben Azariah. The Tanna Kamma's presentation on Laza Ben Azariah is that if there's no minyan, there's no Muslim. So come Rosh Hashanah, if for some reason you couldn't make it to shul, and you were, you know, you got a good reason why you couldn't make it to shul, you just don't daven Muslim. That's all. I don't, maybe Rosh Hashanah is a bit much because I don't know what you do, Malchus. I guess, I don't know. You have to hear Tia Shofar, but you don't have to daven Muslim. Then the Chachamim Omen, the Sever Ir v'Shelo v'Chever Ir. Chachamim say no. Tfilas HaMusafen is the obligation not only of the Tzibur, but it's an obligation of the Yoch. So if you're alone and you're not the Minyan, so you daven Musaf. If there is a Minyan, say daven Musaf in the Minyan. And then comes the third thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Rabbi Yehuda says in his name, that's going back to Rabbi Loza Ben Azariah at the beginning of the Mishnah, Kol Makom Sheyesh Sham Chever Ir, Yochid Hotar Mitzil Musafen. Whenever there's a minion there, a minion that's davening Musaf, you don't have to daven Musaf. So if you're at home on Rosh Hashanah and you've heard Tia Shofar and a KJ they're davening, but you know that Chanter Gerson is davened, you know, he's davening Musaf, is doing a wonderful job for him. Rabbi Muxin is doing a wonderful job. You can sit there and say, thanks, they took care of it for me. You don't have to daven yourself. If in the community, if there's no Tfilas HaTzibur where they're davening Musaf, so guess what? You've got to daven your own Musaf. So those are the three opinions. Musaf is only done Tzibur. Musaf is done like every other Tzibur, Bein Tzibur and B'yachid. Musaf is done B'tzibur. If it's done B'tzibur, the Yachid doesn't have to do it. If it's not done B'tzibur, the Yachid has to do it. So that's, the truth is, I've already done away with the Gemara, because the Gemara wonders the following.
Rabbi, could I just ask you, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying it in Rab Elazar Ben Azariah's name?
Yes. Yes. In other words, the way to see the Mishnah is, the initial quote of Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah is an anonymous Tana citing a version of Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah. That's why the Gemara will call it the Tana Kama Aliba the Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah. There's no name. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda Aliba the Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah. So yes. So Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah is first quoted by the anonymous presentation of the Mishnah one way, and then Rabbi Yehuda quotes him differently.
What about the language of Chever Ir as opposed to Tzibur? Is that mentioned anywhere else?
I'm going to ask the questions which I don't know the. I don't think the term appears elsewhere. It's not a term that's familiar to me. I would ask another question: is, and I know this sounds crazy, but does it anywhere say B'yachid B'tzibur in the Mishnah? And as you're looking at Mishnah and Hebrew language, that's
right. I was thinking of that too.
Right, that's the first question to ask.
Yeah.
So I will take the opportunity once again, since you're here, and maybe I'll even, we don't normally get to do this, but let me go back to Zoom. Let me share with you my screen, and we can do a quick search. I wouldn't normally do this, but this is quick. Let me, if you can see my Bar Ilan, let me make the font bigger. So.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. So let me make it. Oh, you'll see the secrets of what I've been looking at recently. If I'm a, now, let's search in the Mishnah. First, we can search for Chever Ir. And that comes up only in this Mishnah. Comes up four times. Now, let's search for Tzibur. We have Shliach Tzibur, but we don't have... so I think we may not have, actually... I don't know that you have the concept of, you have the tzibur, which is the public, property of the public, but I don't know if you have this idea of the tzibur meaning in a public setting. You may not actually have that at all. In the Gemara, for sure, because I can stop this. In the Gemara, for sure, you do. You definitely have the idea of kan b'yachid, kan b'tzibur, but it may just be that that's the term the Mishnah uses for a minyan. Okay.
So I guess the next question would be, where else does it mention a minyan, right? And how does it describe it?
In the Mishnah, right. I don't know. As I try to kind of think quickly back in our Masechta, I don't think we had it. I just don't think, in other words, the Mishnah doesn't have. I also didn't say, by the way, notice that Avuah, the Shmuel, and Levi weren't that concerned about davening the minyan. Obviously, it wasn't a simple matter. It wasn't an easy choice. But they didn't say, oh, well, I can't daven the minyan. How am I going on the journey? They have to go on the journey, so they daven the Yechidus. That's the way it was. Okay. So now... The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Hainu Tanakama Josh, right? That says Rabbi Yehuda is the same as the Tanakama, meaning the Tanakama Libid of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So I don't really understand the Gemara's question because the distinction to me was obvious. The Gemara says, Yochid Shalob, Ika Ben Ayu, Yochid Shalob Chavir. The Nafgamina between, in other words, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and the Tanakama, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, see a special role for the Tzibur in the context of Tzilas HaMusafin. Yes. But the difference is, let's say there is no tzibur there. So a yachid shelo b'chever ir, there's no tzibur in your town, and you're a yachid. Tanakama sabar patur. Tanakama says there's no din of tzilas musaf. Rabbi Yehuda sabar chayev. Rabbi Yehuda says that if there were tzibur, you'd be patur. But now that there's no tzibur, you're chayev. Okay, we figured out, I think, the nafkamina, the practical difference between the two opinions on our own, but the Gemara spells it out. Amar of Huna bar Chinuna, Amar of Chiyah barav, halacha to Rabbi Yehuda, She'amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So, Rav Chiyah Barav paskins like third opinion in the Mishnah. Okay. So, Amar Rav Chiyah Barabin, Shapir comes. Rav Chiyah Barabin says to Rav Huna bar Chinuna, who quoted Rav Chiyah Barav, you said, well, the Amar Shmuel, Miyamai lo mitzalina slusa de mersafim biyachet. I never in my lifetime daven silas musaf for yechidos in the hargal. Levar me'ahu yoma the asaf pul musa de malka lemasa. The atrina atridu rabbanon the itridu rabbanon velo salu. Let me break down and translate. I never daven musaf as a yachid in the hargal except for that day that a pulmus, which is literally the word for war, but it means a war troop of the king, came to the Nardal, came to the city, and the Rabbanan were distracted, and they didn't daven, and therefore it's silently be yachid, v'havoi yachid shlo b'chever ir. So I was a yachid shlo b'chever ir, meaning the rest of the people didn't daven musaf because they got distracted, therefore I davened on my own. So that implies that if there had been a tzibur, Shmuel would never have davened b'yachidus, never had to daven b'yachidus, but once there's no tzibur, he has to daven b'yachidus. And therefore, that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the name of Elazar ben Azariah. Because according to the Tanakhama, if there was no chever ir, there's no musaf. You don't daven except for in tzibur, and that's clearly not Shmuel's opinion. And even the Chachamim, who say that there is bein b'chever ir, bein shalom b'chever ir, so accordingly, Shmuel should have davened as a yachid anyway, even when the Rabbanon did daven. Because, according to the Chachamim, it's an individual's obligation, just like the Tzibur's obligation. So obviously, Shmuel holds like the third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Elazar ben Azariah. Yosef, third line on Lamed Amud Bet, Yosef Rav Chanina Kara, Kame de Rav Yan. Rav Chanina was a Kara. What is a Kara? It's not the modern or the medieval version of Kara, which was a Karite, although it's called the same thing for the same reason. A Kara was a person who specialized in Tanakh. He was a mikra. That was his specialty. So the alternative, by the way, would have been that he would have been a Tana. He would have been a Brisa reciter. Now, so he's sitting there in front of Rav Yanai, and he says, Halachat Rabbi Yehuda Sh'amar Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We paskin, like we said until now, like the third opinion. Omar Le, he said to him, Puk Kra Kra'ech Navara. Go read your psukim outside. Now, had he been a Tana, you would have found the much more common expression, Puk Tani Lavra. Go teach your Brisa outside. You know what you're talking about. It's a fancy way of saying, you're wrong. It's not true. So go teach your stuff outside. It doesn't belong in the base medrash. The word Vara is the word like, Baraisa, outside the Mishnah. Or if you, I don't know if any of you say this, the Zemer of, Curry Bone. So there's an expression, chevas bara, which means it means chayas sadeh, the animal of the field, the animal of the outside. That's what the expression is in Aramaic. So pukkari karech labara, you're wrong. De'ein halacha krabi huda shamli shamal azayah. We don't pass them that way. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ani ra'isi es Rabbi Yanai, the same Rabbi Yanai, did sale v'hadar sale. He davened and he davened again. And the point of Rabbi Yochanan's statement was to indicate that Musaf is an obligation of a yachid, so that's why Rabbi Yanai daven twice. First he davened shachris like a yachid, then he davened musaf like a yachid. It wasn't just a tefillas hatzibur. So Amar Le Rav Jeremy and Rav Zera, if you're hearing this story, this, the quotation of Yochanan, the Dilma Meikara Lo Kivein Daitai Ula Bisov Kivein Daitai. Maybe the reason why he davened twice is because he didn't have Kavanah the first time. So Amar Le, he said to him, Chazi Man Gavra Rabbi the Kamasin Ale. What do you mean? If Rav Yochanan was giving this as testimony, he obviously means that he paid attention. Rav Yochanan's not like some, you know, Oisvar who happened to walk into the Beis Medrash and he saw something important. Rav Yochanan reported the way he did because he was making the point. He knew that Rav Yaneh had davened Shachris and Rav Yaneh had davened Musaf. And therefore, that is in fact the way we pass that Musaf is the obligation of a Yahid. One of the Rishonim, it's either the Rush or Rabbeinu Yonah, makes an interesting inference here. And I think we've spoken about this a little bit in the context of Kavanah when we spoke about Kriya Shema. It sounds from this statement, from Rav Yirmiyah's question from Zera, that if a person daven Shmonesre and they didn't have any Kavanah, then they have to go back and daven again. If you're not Yotzei Tefillah without Kavanah. And the Ramah, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I once again take the luxury of doing so. The Shulchan Aruch is in Kuf Aleph Sif Aleph. I can turn pages. So the Mechaber writes in the first sif from Simon Kofalov, on Mishpalo Tzarash Yechavein B'chol HaBrachos. He has to have Kavanah for all the Brachos. And Mishpah Brewer explains, having Kavanah doesn't mean you know you're davening. It means you pay attention to the words. Heirish HaMilos. Then Eino Yochol Mechavein B'chulam. If you can't have Kavanah for all of them, Lefachos Yechavein B'Avos. You have Kavanah for the first Bracha. Then Lo Kivein B'Avos. Which is an interesting halacha. If you had Kavanah in one of the other brachas, but not in Avos, you have to daven again. And the Ramah writes, the Ha'idana today in Chosrim B'Shvil Chisaron Kavanah, you don't repeat because of a lack of Kavanah, Sha'af B'Chazara, Karuhu Shalom Yechavein, in Cain, Karuhu Shalom Yechavein in Cain Lamayachs. Ramah, who was either a more skeptic or more realist about human nature, says, we don't daven again because there are no guarantees the second time around you're going to have Kavanah either. So obviously you're supposed to have Kavanah, but if you didn't, they say you don't repeat the daven. Okay. Next. Rav Ami Radiasi, Achav Gav Dahava Lehu Tlesar B'nei Kishtat B'nei Knishta B'tferia Lohavu Mitzalo Ela bene amude hefe dahavu garse. So Rabbi Ami and Ravasi, even though there were 13 shuls in Feria, they would daven in the Beis Medrash where they learned. Now, the question that one might ask is, what is this statement doing here? We have seen this before. This came up earlier in the Masechta, I think it was in the first Parah. So the question is, what is this statement doing here? It's a very important thing. If a person learns the Beis Medrash, so they should, that's something they should try to be kovanah malchum tefillah there, put Torah and tefillah together. But nonetheless, why would it be placed here in the Gemara? What's its relevance? So I believe the Rush says here that the reason what the statement is doing here is, and this is an amazing statement, imagine being asked the following question. Assuming that you learn full time, and you learn in the Beit Midrash, in the basement of Teja. And if the shul is davening in the main sanctuary, or the davening in the chapel, should you join them there? So the answer, according to the Rush's reading here, is no. Assuming that this is what you do all the time. Because you go to a shir in the Beis Medrash doesn't mean you shouldn't go into the chapel. But supposing you sit all day learning the Beis Medrash, it is better to daven the yechidus there than to go into the shul, into the other place, and daven with the tzibur, because it's better to daven in the place that you learn. That's what the statement means in the abstract. What is it doing here? The Rush says, because it's to teach you, the halacha is like Rabbi Yana, that you daven Musaf even the yechidus. So here, Rav Ami and Rav Asi just as they would daven other tefillos for yechidus because they want to daven in beis hedrash, they would also daven musaf, even though they were beyechidus. So that shows you that the position is like that of the chachamim. If the Tanakhama believes that only where there's a chever ear, only in the chever ear, only b'tzibur do you daven musaf. And Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Allah and Azariah, says, when there is a tzibur, and there certainly wasn't prayer because there were 13 shuls, when they daven musaf, you don't have to daven musaf. But Rabbi Amir Rasi were davening musaf anyway, b'yechidus, in their base medrash. Okay. Fine. Now the Gemara continues. Itmar. Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu Amar Halachat Rabbi Yehuda She'amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So that is a different version, right? That is going to the opinion we saw earlier that we do pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chia bar Abba, and we don't.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I want to just ask a question here. Who are Rav Asi following? Come on. Are they following?
The Chachamim of the Mishnah.
So in other words, if they're davening the base medresh b'yachidus, and there are 13 shuls davening, they don't have to worry about musaf then.
But they are davening the musaf, that's the point. That's the way the Rush, doesn't say it explicitly in the Gemara, but that's the way the Rush explains. That the reason the statement is here is to tell you they were davening b'yachidus and they were davening musaf, even though they're elsewhere they were davening b'chever ir in the community. They held, like the Chacham of the Mishnah, the middle opinion, that a yachid has to daven musaf just like a tzibur.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So now the Gemara says, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Sali v'hadar Sali. Story goes, Rav Chiya bar Abba and daven twice. Amale Rabbi Zeira, my time of Marha. Why did you do that daven twice? Ile mamishum de lo kivein mardaite. You didn't have kavanah the first time. Amar Rav Lazar, la olam yamur adam es atzmo. A person should measure himself or herself. If you're able to have kavana daven, if not, if you can't focus, you don't have to daven. You're honest. And we don't actually do this because we almost never have the kavana. So better that we daven than just say, oh, I can't have kavana today. So which is kind of amazing that he's saying this. And Reb Zeira is saying this to Chiyavar Abba and refers to him as the master and saying, it can't be because you didn't have kavana, because if you didn't have kavana, you shouldn't have davened in the first place. Ella, what must it be? The lo idkar mar de reshach yarcha. You forgot to say yalav yavo. V'hatanya ta'av lo hiskir shel rosh chodesh. I'm gonna edit the brayso in accordance with the Gra and I think the Bach. Ta'av lo hiskir shel rosh chodesh v'shachris ein machzirin oso. If you forget to say Yalav Yavo in Shachris on Rosh Chodesh, don't jump out of your seats yet. This is not the Lemaisa. This is not the leniency you're hoping for. Because you're going to say Musaf, and when you daven Musaf on that weekday morning, let's say you say Musaf Rosh Chodesh, so you've mentioned Rosh Chodesh. So. So Amar Le, I'm going to skip also the Mamusafin part. So skip that next line. Amar Le, Lav Itamar Allah, Amar Rabbi Yehudan, Bitsibur Shan. No. You know when if you miss Yalav Yavo in Shachris, you don't have to repeat Shachris? In Tzibur. When the Shliach Tzibur failed to mention Yalav Yavo, and this can happen. You know, one of the Rishonim says here, one of the Achronim, the Mishnah Berurah says somewhere, this doesn't usually happen. Because you know what happens when the Shliach Tzibur forgets Yalav Yavo? Everybody screams at him! Yalav Yavo! Right? And if not, they'll physically assault them if necessary. But supposing it's a very awkward Tzibur, or they were all sleeping, or as they sleeping, sleepwalking for the davening, and weren't paying attention. So in such a case, the Shliach Tzibur doesn't repeat the Amida. And he doesn't repeat it because they're going to daven Musaf later, and because it's Tircha the Tzibur. But if a Yachid forgets Yalav Yavo, the Yachid has to repeat Yalav Yavo even in Shachas. Okay. Now, there is another point I think the Rama makes, which I don't know if it's his reading of this Gemara, which is if you are the Shliach Tzibur, and this would apply to any mistake, and you daven your Amida, and you made a mistake in your silent Amida, you forgot Mashi Parol, you forgot Yalaviyavo, you whatever else it is, he doesn't have to repeat because he is going to end up doing the Chazar Sashat, which will be Yotze himself. Not only that, but Rashi quoted from Halachos Gedolos, we saw it earlier in the parak, and some of the Rishonim quoted here. You cannot, if you, the Yochid, forgot Yalaviyavo, you need to repeat your Amida. However, if you are going to listen to the Shaliach Tzibur word for word, then once you've davened already and all you forgot was Yalaviyavo, the Bahag says that you can rely upon, even though normally you cannot choose not to daven and just rely upon the Shaliach Tzibur, but in this case, because you davened already and you just left that Yalaviyavo, you can rely upon the Chazar Sashat. These are the cases where you definitely do not answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. You answer only Amen. You listen to every word from the beginning till the end, and then you don't personally have to repeat. But otherwise, you with the Yachid cannot be rely upon the fact that the Shleif Tzibur, or that you're going to daven Musa, or that the Shleif Tzibur was doing it. You would actually have to repeat. Okay.
So wait, does that go for all insertions, Rabbi? And changes?
For the Shleif Tzibur?
Or for the Yachid?
Well, so I'm trying to, I think we discussed this, and now it is, I think the answer is, it's a machlokas. I think about Mashiach Baruch. It's not clear at all why it shouldn't work. You have to decide that somehow they're different. But if you remind me later, or I say after Shir, I'll quickly grab it and take a look. I don't remember how it comes out.
And what about if the Shliach Tzibur forgot twice? He forgot in his own Shmoneh Esrei, and he forgot in Chazaras Hashatz. So we do still say
and everybody screams at him.
Well, right. I think that he would have to go back, actually, and daven the Yechidus. I actually had such a shayla that came up. I hope I got it right. I was in they were davening Yechidus Kedusha in a small minyan camp. And it was Rosh Chodesh. It was a few days ago. And they did till the end of Atzeret Kadosh. And then everybody said the rest of the Shmoneh Esrei silently. And then afterwards, before they said the Kaddish, the Shliach Tzibur turned to me and said, I forgot Yalaviyavo, what do you do? I told him, finish the Kaddish, finish Aleinu, and then you'll go back and daven yourself. Yeah, because the Tzibur, there's no reason for Tzibur to wait, nothing's accomplished by that. But yeah, so that's what I think that's correct, and I think that in this case we would tell, unless there's somebody needed to be Yotze, we would just say, by Rosh Chodesh we would say, that the Tzibur will be Yotzei with Musaf, but the Yachid, who's the Shliach Tzibur, I think has to go back and do his own.
If you're going to be Yotzei with the Shliach Tzibur's Shmoneh Esrei by listening to every single word, I would assume that you have to be standing also.
Mechat Tzilach, right? I mean, you would be Yotzei Tzilach if you're sitting, but if you were standing, you should be standing, right? You should be standing. Give me one moment. I may be able to fish this out quickly. Larry, I'm going to check your question.
Hey,
I don't
right.
remember if it's in Rosh Chodesh, where it's quoted, or it's quoted, which is
okay.
At the end of the fourth Chelik of Mishnah Berurah, or whether it's quoted earlier. So, does that happen?
No.
I have trouble turning these pages.
I always wonder, Rabbi, sometimes the Shliach Tzibur is clearer than other times, right? Sometimes you could actually make out all the words, and I would say that's probably the exception, unless it's like a chazan. So if you're relying upon it, but you can't really, you know, like some of the words blend together, how does that affect everything?
So I would think that obviously the chatzila, that's a problem, but if you've heard all the chasima sabrachos, it's probably fine. In other words, if at least the last part you hear, thank you, be okay with that. Okay. So it's not where the halachos gedolos about listening for the Shliach Tzibur word for word is quoted is not in Hukos Rosh Chodesh by Yalaviyavo. It must be in Hukos Tzilos, so I have to find the synod. We did this once. I'll do it, but I think if you go back in the Shiurim to earlier in the parak, you would find where we spoke about this, and I presented what it was. Now I can't remember it. Okay, so one last piece in our Gemara, and we'll leave the last thing on this to next week. We have one very important tosis to do here, and Kiddush HaChodesh, so we'll leave that stuff. But the Gemara now says, supposing you had to recite twice, you forgot Yalaviyavo, Kama Yashabim Tfila Latfila. Now you're not supposed to just daven and daven immediately again, because you're supposed to have Kavana. So you just finished whole Shemana for Kavana. You need a little time in between. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna Rav Chisda, Chat Amar, Kidei Shetishonein Dat Olav, V'chat Amar Kidei Shetishonel Dat Olav. It means the same thing. It means you have to be able to take a little break, take a few breaths, so you can focus on your repetition of your Shemon Esrei when you're going to now try to remember to say Yalaviyavo. What does this expression mean? So the Gemara says, "Manda Amar Kadesh Tischonein Datolav Disiv Vo Eschanan El Hashem." In other words, tefillah has to be with prayer has to be with tachina, a sense of supplication. So your mind has to be in the framework of supplication. And Umanda Omar Kidesha Tischolel Dato Olav is the Siv Vayichal Moshe. I think it's fundamentally the same thing. It's just which word they chose to use. But the bottom line is that you have to wait when you have to daven a second time, whether it's because you forgot Yalaviyavo or because let's say you're making up a tefillah because you forgot to daven Mincha, so you're davening Marat twice, you're supposed to wait Kidei Hiloch Dalet Amos in between, which is not very long. The amount of time to walk Dalet Amos restore yourself or some get yourself sort of ready in the mindset. That's not a very long time. I don't think it takes that long to walk 7 feet. But anyway, that's what the Gemara says. Amar of Anan Amara Ta'av Elohiskir Shirosh Chodesh Arvus Ein Machziroso Lefisha Ein Based in Mekadosh Eshachodesh Alavayom. If you forget Yalaviyavo on the night of Rosh Chodesh, you don't repeat because Based is not Mekadosh Eshachodesh until the next day. It's very important to remember this is only true Yalaviyavo Rosh Chodesh. If you forget Yalaviyavo on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, Yom Tov night, you know, the night, Friday night of Shabbos Chol HaMoed, you have to say Yalaviyavo. Or if you forget Yalaviyavo, any Chol HaMoed night for that matter, not just Shabbos, you have to go back and repeat the Amida. Because the idea of Ein Mekanshin Es HaChodesh Ela B'Layla, the base doesn't sanctify the new moon except the night, that's only relevant. Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't apply to anything else. So Amar Ameimar Mistabra Milsa the Rabba Chodesh Mole Avo Bchodesh Chaser Masirinosa. So Rashi, the way Rashi understands the Gemara is that Ameimar thought Rav's statement that you don't repeat Marafi Alaviyavo is only when there are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, a Chodesh Mole. When do we make 2 days of Rosh Chodesh? When the previous month has 30 days, then day 30 is Rosh Chodesh and day 1 is Rosh Chodesh. When the previous month is only 29 days, there's only 1 day Rosh Chodesh. So he said that Rav's view makes sense by a Chodesh Mole, not by a Chodesh Chaser. Why? Rashi says, because by a Chodesh Mole, at least if you miss the first night, you can say Alaviyavo the second night in Mole. Amar le Rav Ashi la Neymar, Nichtei Rav Taimakama. What are you talking about? It has nothing to do with the fact that you could do a makeup or something like that. Rav gave the reason, which is, Beisan is not Makadish, it's really only 1 day Rosh Chodesh in reality. Beisan is not Makadish the Chodesh at night. Mali Chaser or Mali Mali El Aloshna. It doesn't make a difference. Whether Rosh Chodesh is 1 day, whether Rosh Chodesh is 2 days, if you forget to say Yalaviyavo at night in Marav, you don't go back and repeat. Now, I'm going to finish just by throwing a question out there, which we'll talk about as the first thing in next week's shir, which is, what if I forgot Yalaviyavo and I just finished with, say, I finished Hamachazir Shechina Solitzion, or I'm in the middle of Motiv, or I'm in the middle of Sim Shalom, or I haven't taken 3 steps back, but I'm in the middle of Alokai Nitzar. I don't have to go back. Am I allowed to go back? Well, I certainly, if I finish the Shemana Esrei, I don't have to go back. Am I allowed to go back? I said about the Shemana Esrei, oops, I forgot it. Oh, but it's Rosh Chodesh, so I don't really have to go back. So that is a discussion that is raised in Tosos here, on the last Tosos of the Parak, and that's what we will begin with, God willing, next week at the same time and same location. Any final questions?
Rabbi, quick question. So Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they don't have Chiyuv HaTzibur, and what happens with that?
So we discussed this issue a while back, not with that Rav Ami or Asi, but is there a Chiyuv HaTzibur? And I think they would say that they have, now obviously there's an ideal of Chiyuv HaTzibur, really you should have the Tzibur minimally, even if it's not Chiyuv, but they would say that Parasanam Nasam, they learn all the time, and now, but this is not even the claim they're making, but they would claim their tefillah is more mekubal because they learn Torah all day in the base medrash. It's more mekubal in that place. In other words, the assumption is that tefillah b'tzibur, if you hold that tefillah b'tzibur is not strictly obligatory, the reason why you should daven with the community is because your tefillah is more likely, you're more likely to have focus, intent, kavana, more likely to be, your tefillah will be accepted. But if an individual says, my tefillah really is going to be more effective when I'm davening privately, so then it would be permissible for that individual. It's a calculated risk you make. But again, I don't know if I want to, there are many examples of this. There are any number of gedolim, I think it's clear, who didn't want to take the time of traveling and so who daven b'yichidus. Some Hasidic rebbes used to daven b'yichidus. That used to be sort of a standard thing. So the assumption of that approach, I think, is that it's not strictly obligatory to daven with a minyan, even though you're really supposed to, unless there's a good reason not to. So I think there are any number of situations where we would have a preference, because of some other aspect of the laws of tefillah, to daven alone rather than davening in the tzibur. So I'd assume that that's what Rabbi Ami and Rashi were thinking, which is this is the ideal place for our tefillah because this is where we learn all day. Therefore, it doesn't matter whether we have a minyan or not. This is where we're going to daven. That's, I think, what he's
saying. We just think that there would be like a synthesis where they're davening Musaf because their tefillah is like a tefillah of the tzibur.
Why is their tefillah like a tefillah of the tzibur? This, by the way, it's not only by Musaf that they're davening there. In other words, that may be why the Gemara quotes it here the way the Rashi explains it. But really, when the Gemara presents it early, that's where they would daven. I mean, I'll also note, David, it doesn't say explicitly that they didn't have a minyan, which is, kind of interesting. Who says? Maybe they got eight other guys. I don't know. But if you accept the Rush's reading, it's not limited to Musaf. It's generally, they, instead of going to shul, which would take time, and there was a tircha, and it's not the ideal place for their prayer, because that makes most sense where they learn. So that's why I don't think it's specifically Musaf that they used to daven there. Does that address the...
Got it. Yep. Thanks so much.
Okay.